Welcome back to Foster.Minnesota's Let's Talk, a podcast that brings you valuable resources for prospective and current adoptive and foster families, as well as professionals. My name is Chris, and I'm an education coordinator at Foster Adopt Minnesota. Today's guest is Amy Wilkerson. Welcome, Amy. Please tell us about yourself.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. My name is Amy Wilkerson. I am a licensed independent clinical social worker here in Minnesota. I'm also a transracial and international adoptee. I was born in Santiago, Chile in the mid 80s, and I was adopted into a white Jewish family in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so Midwest girl. And I have always just been really curious about my adoption since I was pretty tiny, and it influenced my entire career. I'm a clinical social worker. I have my bachelor's of social work from Augsburg University here in Minneapolis. And I entered reunion when I was 15 years old. So coming up on being in reunion now longer than not, and that has taken my journey on some of the highest highs and some of the lowest lows. But now I'm currently in private practice, completely devoted to the complexities of adoption. So I work with many adoptees across the lifespan. I work with several adoptive parents in a consultation and in a therapeutic capacity. And I also have a few first families on my caseload as well.
Awesome. Well, I'm so excited to have you today and to share everything more about you with our guests. So let's get started. So let's talk about pre-adoption placements and what potential adoptive parents need to know beforehand about the areas you specialize in, such as complex trauma, attachment, reunion, and race.
Yeah. Well, I mean, such a good question. I think the one of the things I wish more parents had a true grasp on before in the pre-adoption phase is understanding that all adoption, no matter the story, is rooted in trauma, grief, and loss. And I think when we can really anchor into that reality, we set ourselves up for so much more success in creating meaningful connections with kids, for helping kids be seen in their entirety and their whole truth. And it helps us to have the perspective shift around not what's wrong with you, but wow, something really major happened to you. And when kids are having big behaviors or when kids are really struggling through transitions, it can be hard and it can be triggering and it can be frustrating. But I think when we remember their stories are rooted in trauma, grief, and loss, it really helps us offer support and compassion in a much more profound and meaningful way.
Yeah, and there's the pre-adoption placements. And then, you know, there's sure to be challenges after an adoption finalization, you know, even after an adoption placement too. But, you know, talking about finalization, some might think that things get easy because they're officially a family now. And what do parents most commonly say they wish they knew or were prepared for after finalization?
Yeah, this is something that I hear all the time in the work that I do, that parents are like surprised at how much work goes into the pre-adoptive process. And they think that, like you said, once they become officially quote unquote a family, it kind of will all just simmer away and everything will be rainbows and sunshine moving forward. When in reality, what we know is a lot of times that's when the real work begins, right? It is kind of what I was saying before, it's unpacking the across the lifespan and supporting a child who's been impacted by this grief and loss. And that can show up in so many different ways, right? It can show up in behaviors, it can show up in, you know, identity development, it can show up in milestones, it can show up in flight, flight, freeze, trauma responses. I mean, there's so many different ways that this can play out. And you know, when children too have the transracial layer on top of that, if kids are being raised outside of their race or their ethnic groups, it can bring up a lot of questions, especially if kids are raised in racial isolation. That can just add extra complexities around how families are attuning to them.
Right. And a lot of times, you know, there's a whole team that's with a youth and a family. And then once that finalization happens, that's where they're kind of on their own now. And that's why it's great to have you talking about how they can still be supported.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So how important is identity building, and can one do so as an adult?
Yeah, I think it's never too late to do any of our work in life, but I think it's much harder to do as an adult than it is a kid. When we have been told implicitly or explicitly that there isn't room or there isn't space for our stories to exist, or that there isn't space for us to be curious about how we've been impacted by adoption, we can shut down and become really phobic to what's going on internally. And we can't just become phobic to, oh, I shouldn't be talking about this. It kind of is like a blanket that goes across all parts of self. And we can get out of touch with what brings us joy, what brings us a sense of fulfillment, what brings us a sense of curiosity. And we can really start having the trauma response of people-pleasing behaviors and fawning. And so it's just really important, I think, for parents and caregivers who are, in the adoption process or who have adopted to, again, I'll just like probably sound like a broken record, but really rooting and being really curious alongside their youth about like how might this grief or loss or trauma really impacted their youth and how they're conceptualizing connections and what their worldview might look like, how that might have been impacted by this experience.
Yeah, things get harder as we become adults too. I feel like skiing. There's no way I could go skiing. I'm too fearful,
Totally.
just
Totally.
things like that. So.
Totally.
So if you could plant a few things you must know, in quotes, into the minds of the adoption community, what would they be?
That's such a good question. I was thinking about this, and I feel like it's hard because I think there's so much out there, and just I wish that, if we had like a couple little sound bites, I think what I have been saying is that, we cannot ever underestimate the power of this trauma has had on the whole system. And I think that kids are not being disloyal or they're not bad kids if they're curious about their adoption or they want to have biological connection that is net or they want to explore their own race or ethnicity. That doesn't mean that they also can't hold space for adoptive family or, adoptive community in their hearts as well. But that there's parts of a story that belong to an adoptee only. And it's not about fixing or trying to change the narrative for them, but really supporting them and giving their story space to breathe and to take shape. And I know that when we love people, we want to take some of that pain away. I think that that's completely normal and natural. But sometimes it's not about fixing or saving, and it's just about supporting and holding space for the depth and the realness and the messy that can come along with adoption.
Right. And it's, I mean, in this day and age too, you're just a few clicks away from looking at your past or looking into things or searching someone's name. So, I mean, do you encourage families to do that all together? Like searching, like doing any kind of search for family history?
Yeah, I think that search should always be child-centered and child-led. Kids at any age will give you clues, even if they can't explicitly come out and say, I want to search. And I think it should be something that if you're doing on your own without your child's consent, you should be ready to have that conversation with them because, again, those are pieces and parts of their own story. And search and reunion, I think a lot of times we think that that's just about finding biological connection, but search can look and be about so many different things, right? For inter-country adoption, search can look like, hey, I'm curious about traveling to my birth country, or I'm curious about searching and connecting with language. It's not always about being in deep, profound, meaningful relationship with biological family. It can show up in so many different ways. I think I always phrase it and think about it as like if my kid were to find out that I had access to all this information or I knew all these things, but I didn't share with them. How could I justify withholding this information from them? So I think it needs to be child-led. And I think that, yeah, I don't think there's ever a specific age. Like that's the magical age. I think kids will let you know when they're ready. We just have to really pay attention to how they're giving us those clues.
I was just going to ask that. I just, when you were talking about age, like there, some people will ask that too, like, is there the perfect age? But I mean, it just depends on each individual, right?
Yeah, I think it depends on each individual and it depends on every story, right? We see so many more people who have open adoption now, which even in my generation wasn't really a thing. And so there's that dynamic too, where people are in reunion and they do have connection from the beginning. And that can be really complicated. I think one of the biggest myths is that if a child isn't talking about their adoption, then they're not thinking about their adoption. And there can be a whole bunch of reasons why kids aren't talking out loud about how their life has been impacted by adoption. But I would venture a guess that there's some level of curiosity floating around in their system. And so, as an adult, as a caregiver, kind of being intentional about planting seeds. So, if and when your child is ready to begin processing this out loud, they know, hey, mom, dad, caregiver, they're a safe person to talk to about this because they're open. And even then, in the safest and most, connected relationships, I think it can still be hard and scary to open up about that. So, making an offering like, hey, sometimes I think about your birth mom, and I'm curious if you do too. Or maybe on your birth on a child's birthday, saying something like, I was thinking about your birth mom today. Curious if you were thinking about them too. And not forcing or pressuring a conversation to come, but just allowing it to take shape, or just saying, yeah, and if you don't, that's cool too, right? There's no right or wrong way
Right.
to think about this, but it all makes sense.
I think that's a soft way to say it too. Like, I'm thinking about this, but what are you thinking? Or are you thinking about that? It kind of just leaves them with the ability to answer as much or as little as they'd like.
Yeah, and I think it also models for kids that it's okay to think about these things. It's normal to think about these things, and it's natural to think about these things, right? And so, yeah.
Well, great, great tips. So, are there some must-have or must-know resources families should be aware of to continue conversations around the unique challenges that come with the experience of adoption?
Yeah, I think one of the coolest things that I get really excited about now is there's so many adult adoptees doing really cool work in adoption spaces. And what excites me so much is those resources just weren't a thing when I was little. And so to see so many adult adoptees pour their heart and soul to make the next generation feel a little bit safer and have a little bit more attunement is really exciting for me. So if you're on social media, I think following other adult adoptees is so important because there's such a spectrum of how we all enter this conversation. And I think being curious about how it could land for your kid and what you can learn from the do's and the don'ts and the good, the bad, and the ugly, I think is a, such a special resource that everyone can have access to. And there's tons of great children's books and podcasts out there around the experience of adoption. I actually wrote a children's book called Being Adopted, and I just wanted to normalize the feelings and the experiences of what adoptees go through when they're little. And again, just to kind of say it's all okay, like it all makes sense. So yeah, I think that there's some great just leaning into adult adoptee voices, I think is just such a powerful tool.
And how can they get your children's book?
Yeah, so I think the easiest way that most people do, just like with anything else in life, is to prime it, Amazon Prime it. But I know that you can get it at any local bookstore. So if you wanted to support local, you could have it ordered from your bookstore. I know a lot of people also get it through Barnes and Noble as well.
Well, how long did it take you to write it?
So the manuscript itself didn't take me too long. It probably was about a year from beginning to end. And then I worked and partnered with two adult adoptees that are also transracial international adoptees to, for the illustrations. And so that was the longer process, kind of bringing the words to life. I was really intentional about having other adoptees support me on the project because I wanted to show little adoptees that our community is so powerful and we're better together. And I also wanted a project that was just 100% adoptee led.
That is so cool.
Thanks.
And I'm sure it took you a while to actually like, I'm sure you thought about it for a while and then finally just jumped right in. That's great. Well, so how can our listeners connect with you if they have any questions or they need further help? Like, what do you offer?
Yeah, so I offer therapy at this time. I offer family and individual therapy. I can be reached at amywilkerson@growhealblossom.com. That's my email. I'm also on Instagram at growhealblossom, so it's the same tagline, and I post upcoming trainings on there or content at times. So yeah, those are great ways to connect with me, and probably the most through email or Instagram are probably the easiest ways to get a hold of me.
Great. And you're also on our foster.minnesota website.
I am. Thank you. Yes, I am
Yeah.
on.
Perfect. Well, Amy, it's been a pleasure talking with you today. I know that you did story time with Kayla with your children's book, and Kayla just loved you. So we wanted to have you on for a podcast guest. And I hope that our listeners got a lot out of you. I sure did. So if you
Thank
have
you.
any last words of advice to say or anything you'd like to say to wrap up,
Yeah, I mean, I think adoption is a lifelong journey and it's not always easy, but I want people to know that they aren't alone in this experience and that there is community out there for them, regardless of how they're entering this conversation. And I just hope that people feel seen and truly know that they're not alone in all of this. So, yeah, I see you.
Great. Thanks, Amy. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And I want to let our audience know that Foster.Minnesota has a program called HELP that offers a warm line to resources for adoptive, foster, and kinship families, including a network of adoption-competent, trauma-informed therapists statewide. Go to our website, fosteradoptmn.org, and click on HELP. Thank you so much for joining us today for Let's Talk. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to our podcast, and tune in again soon.